This is HPR episode 2696 entitled HPR Community News for November 2018 and is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 72 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is HPR volunteers talk about shows released and comments posted in November 2018.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello folks, Kay Wisher here to remind you that it's that time of year again. Time for the Hacker Public Radio New Year's Eve show. For those who don't know, on New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2018, at 10 a.m. UTC, that is 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will have a recording going on the HPR Mumble server for anyone to come on and say Happy New Year and talk about whatever they want. We will leave the recording going until January 1st, 2019, 12 a.m. UTC, that will be 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or until the conversation stops. Please visit hackerpublicradio.org to find all the details and links about how to set up the PC Mumble client, your favorite mobile app, the mobile server connection details, our Etherpad show notes, and the live audio stream if you only prefer to listen in on the lively banter. So please stop in and say hi, and maybe join in the conversation with other HPR listeners and contributors. It's always a good time.
Hello everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. This time, it's community news for November 2018. This is a community podcast network where the shows are submitted by people like you, and we are the volunteers that process them on the background. By which we mean the shows that get posted by you, we comment on them because we can. And some people listen to the show and then will go and download them as a result of what we say. Joining me tonight, as ever, is Mr. Dave Morris.
I don't know what that is. You got a sore throat there, Ken, or something. Hello, everybody.
And as I said, yeah, basically the show was started to make sure that... I think everybody likes all the shows. It's just sometimes you don't get any feedback because you go, hey, that was a good show. I bet other people have given feedback on that show. But usually they don't, so we will do that. And we comment on them and read the comments. And then we tell you if there's anything been going on the network. It's kind of been busy this month, Dave, with shows needing triage and stuff.
yeah. I was going to apologize quite early because there's three in the list here, but I couldn't actually listen to. I think my ears are now in a state where they don't function too well, and some of these really just I just couldn't work them out. I suppose maybe I could have done if I'd hacked them around a bit and slowed them down or something like that, but I hadn't got around to doing that yet, so we'll talk about that as we go. But
yeah,
has been that sort of month.
Yeah, sometimes it's quiet, sometimes it's busy. And, with mistakes people make and when they're posting, so better that than no shows coming in. So, shall we? Do you want to welcome the new host? Because that's what you tend to do.
Yes, we have one new host this month. And it's De Searcher. Now, I assumed his name would be De Searcher because it's D-E-S, but I heard him saying it himself and it was De Searcher. So there you go.
Yeah. And welcome to the network, indeed. So let's start, shall we, with the Raspberry Pi 3 Open Media Server. And somebody sent me in that there were, how to set up a Raspberry Pi as an open media server by JWP. And a good show. I didn't have problems with that myself, but some people mentioned that that was one of the ones that was difficult to listen to.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'd listened to it, but I didn't get all of it. It was too quiet, and he must have used really, really harsh silence truncation because it just blew my ears up. I don't know what it was. I'll have to try it again because it's a subject I'm really interested in, and I know JWP knows a lot about these types of things, but I haven't got around to re-listening to that one, I'm afraid.
Okay, Jason Lewis commented, volume. The volume is goo quiet. So I think he means too quiet. So this is one of the ones I sent off to Audiophonics or Allphonics place, and they tidied it up. So if you had trouble listening to this one, download it again, and the audio will have improved quite a bit. That's actually quite a good service. It was a tip from the Dave Tips About Podcasting was mentioned there.
Yeah,
I already have an account. I don't use it all the time because sometimes it can't, if the audio is coming in over compressed and edited too much, there's nothing I can do about it. But which is why you should always try, folks, always try and send us the original. Don't worry too much about editing. Don't process it. Just if you can record stuff in WAV or FLAC, a lossless format, then the best thing you can do is, if you want to edit it, that's fine. Convert it immediately into, so if you're recording it in MP3 or AUG or something, convert it immediately into FLAC in Audacity. Don't edit it in MP3. Don't edit it as a lossless format. This is also, Dave Lee gave this this tip in their show as well. What am I trying to say, Dave? Record in the absolute best quality that you can. We ask for FLAC, but don't convert it from something less to FLAC for us, because then we will just process it again and it's going to lose even more quality in the process. But as ever, any audio is better than no audio, correct or not?
Indeed, indeed.
So the following day we had how to solve a problem with following YouTube channels, and this was by Ahuka, who wants, basically his problem is how to play on the web form from back to front. And Gus says, praise, thank you for two excellent tips, both how to manage your playlists and the Iridium plugin. It works great.
And Ahuka replies saying, my pleasure. I'm glad you found this useful. That's why I record shows, to share with the community.
And I have recorded an audio response to this show. It was one of the shows when I heard it, seen it coming into the queue, I was going, no, I was going to record a show about something like this. But it actually turns out to be complimentary, and perhaps we'll have a series.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? It's odd that there are... It's actually quite difficult to do this with the tools that you get on YouTube. And I've certainly struggled watching playlists and myself in the past and wondered why I can't get them in the order I want them. So, yeah, cool.
Yeah, I'm going to refrain from commenting because all my comments are in the show that I posted. So then we had the community news itself, and there were some comments about that. Ahuka says, what were you going to say? I noticed that on my shows you kept saying we'll get back to that, but I don't think you ever did. Did you have a comment? Yes, I did, Ahuka. Thank you for bringing that up, and I'll get back to that in a minute. So, Dave, if you could read the next one out.
Just going to go on for months and months. So, DODD Dummy says, smiling all the way to the end, I love the addition of RMS's rendition. However, I did not intend to replace... I didn't intend it to replace Ken's version.
There you go. Dodo Dummy says, Ken's perfect example. Ken illustrated my point well. Boston Dynamics might have scripted Atlas's latest test, but there is still nice progress in the last couple of years. Seems clear to me that soon we'll be able to navigate things as they come. Same with Watson. It won't take many doubling cycles before he stops making these types of mistakes. And with AI, robots, automation, whatever you want to call it, the knowledge is transferable, whereas often us meat sacks have to repeat the mistakes of our predecessors to relearn as they did. Seems odd to me to look back on tech improvements in just the past 20 years and not think these areas will be vastly improved upon too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess he has a point. Why should this trend not continue? I guess he's saying. Oh, do you want to read your own comment? Sorry, we got the time, got the order wrong.
I said, we'll get back to that. I often face Ahuka's shows with trepidation, given I know that he's likely to say what I'm not wanting to hear. This is about his health series shows. The old head in the sand trick has worked for Grandpa, so it's good enough for me. But then you listen to his advice, and it's always good, and it's always doable, and now I just feel guilty about not doing it.
yeah, quite so.
Anyway, my thoughts on learning the RPG Part 4. This was from D-O-D-D Dummy. And looks like I forgot to truncate silence. Sorry about that.
I didn't find it was a problem particularly, did you?
But then I was reading that I have an automatic truncate silence on my script, so I might not notice it.
Do you know what? So do I. So, yeah.
No, we're grand. So I don't know if anyone else had an issue with that. Then the next day we had explaining controls on your amateur HF radio part 4, and Mr. X, yes, milking this for all it's worth. Good man, yes, come from the Ken Fallon School of Podcasting, that's for sure. But it is actually, to be honest, if it was any longer than this, it would be just too much to take, and he's gone through each of the controls, and it's, he's able to explain it, and I'm not getting confused during the process, so I think that's quite good. Whereas I think if he just did it all in one go, it would be tougher.
Yeah, I like the fact that he was actually demonstrating a number of the functions he was talking about as well. That really brings it alive for me.
Yeah, I went, oh, that's what he means, yeah. Very good. Liked it. Don't feel... I'm a bit sad now that this series has come to an end. Possibly using the amateur HF radio series would be a good one next, you know?
Yes.
Turning on my device, how to check it, regular maintenance, that sort of thing.
Yes. There's, I'm sure there's more shows in that one.
Speaking of segueing nicely into... how to milk shows for all it's worth. Bash and Celery Tips 13.
What are you saying?
This is our Bash scripting series, where the Bash and Celery Tips sub-series is up to 13, where we're up to making decisions in Bash Part 5.
Yeah. Come on, I mean, have you ever tried reading the man page or the bash man page?
series 42.13.5.
Definitely, yeah. I'm just writing number 19, so you know it's going to run and run this one.
Keep doing that. But anyway, what was this one about? Let me just check.
This was all about... Bash regular expressions on the rematch thingy.
Which, I was walking under a bridge on my way home from work when I put this one on. Didn't know you could do the regex in Bash. And then I looked at some of the scripts and I'm doing it, but didn't know I was doing it. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, I think it was Mike Ray who was saying something to this effect, that he'd been using it, but he never quite got his head around it, though for Mike, I'm surprised that he hadn't completely got a grasp of it, because he's a pretty sharp guy, but maybe he hadn't had the time. But I'd agreed that I would get around to talking about this at some point and trying to explain it. Don't know whether I did, but you know.
No, I followed it.
It helped.
I'm working on the assumption that you need to following the show notes helps anyway. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the book when this is with the CD compendium at the back.
That could be one hell of a book.
Clacke says, immediately useful, don't we like that? Very good episode about some functionality I was always vaguely knew was there, but never considered using or even looking into. Well, lo and behold, a week after listening to it, I have already made use of my newfound knowledge to parse some predictably formatted JSON. I ran into an issue with quoting the expressions and worked around them by assigning the expression to a variable and referring to the variable in the conditional. I'm now listening to 2669 and I understand exactly why it went wrong. For the sake of readability, I actually think the assignment workaround was the best way to express it.
So I replied to that saying, thanks, Clacker. Glad you found the show is useful in using bash regular expressions and capture groups. Parsing JSON with bash is a challenging task to take on, though. I use JQ to do this myself, or the JSON module in Perl, of course, smiley face.
Yeah, JQ is absolutely awesome.
Well, yeah, it's a brilliant thing. And I've not actually used it much in bash, but I'm sure you can do some clever things of turning things into bash statements or something.
I'm not an expert on it, but would really like to have somebody walk me through how to, you know, request all variables and you know, stuff like that. Stuff I know we can do, but walkthrough series would actually be excellent if somebody could do that for us. Who has it brought that to our attention? Command line tools. Who was that?
This wasn't a Be Easy one, was it? I remember where it...
Yeah, it was BZ.
He's often correct. Finding really, really useful, being a sort of data manipulator by day. He knows lots about these types of things.
Very good. BZ. JQ. Series. Oh, my cough there. It's winter coming on, you know. Anyway, yes, some additional talk about characters. 01, Lost in Bronx, having a series about random elements of storytelling. I am loving. I really, really enjoy these. I don't know why. I do know why, because they're great shows. And I'd love to know, right? Lost in Bronx and Tlatu, both of them sit down and you have the feeling, right? Excuse me now, I'm sitting in the car, blah, blah, blah. Stream of consciousness, and it's all cohesive and it's all coherent. And I've never had a conversation in my life where I'm not going, let me just think. Oh, sorry about that. Ums and ahs. How can they record these things so well?
I find I have to use about 90% of my brain to drive these days.
Yeah.
I only have about 10% of it left to even have a conversation, which, yeah, my kids know that when I sort of trail off and I'm concentrating on what that guy in front of me is just about to do.
Or something more like on the road, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe the roads are just a little less busy in Arizona. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
But brilliant show. Love it. And recommended it to my son to have a listen.
Yeah, I like the comment about Star Wars and the odd disjointed nature of some of the stories there, which
I thought
was a really good point to make.
And he's also nailed, not necessarily in this show, but in some of the shows, nailed it on the head. I found certain things irritating and annoying, and never really understood. I couldn't put my finger on why I felt like that. And then, yeah, it's obvious. It's a one-dimensional character. That character was just put there for that thing, and there's... Yeah, now I understand.
Yeah, it's good to have that extra insight, that sort of depth of viewing into the structure of these things. It's an excellent thing to do. I'm enjoying the series for that reason, too.
So the next day, very short show, but a very good show. Hackers for Charity. If this is something that you can help out with, it's an excellent project, doing great work. 4-minute show, but Zoke really packed a punch in there with that interview.
Yeah, I enjoyed this one. Yeah, Zoke's very good at this.
Yeah, that one anyone can listen to. Just have a quick listen. Not all about Blender. Now, this is one of the ones that needed to go off to the school of fixing. But that said, so if you've downloaded this one and you found it a little bit tough to listen to, and I don't think it was the guy's fault, they were recording one mic between two people, and that's difficult to get that working out well. So if you are sending in a show that you think the audio is going to be a bit dodgy on it, can you tell us? Because we don't listen to the shows beforehand, and there's a reason for that. The reason is we are volunteers here and we don't peer review any of the shows. So when I pick a random period of time within the show, I have no reference as to whether it's louder or quieter or whatever. If you want us to do actual editing with that, just make a note somehow. How would you do that? You would email us. You would email us and tell us.
Email admin@hbr would be the best thing, I guess, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Email us and say that, can you do something with the audio on this? So don't do any super cool processing then with the show, and we can try and get it fixed. The Auphonics, is it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. They have cleaned this up no end. It is night and day different. So if you have already downloaded this is in the queue. If you haven't downloaded it, we've already replaced it. And so you get much better versions of this. I listened to the first one and then went back and re-listened, and it was listenable, but it's a good show. Gosh, they're chock full of stuff in the show. I like it. It's a nice...
I know the bits that I did listen. I haven't listened to this or the second part yet, because you'd said you were going to process them, and I was waiting for the nod to that was now ready and was going to go and check it out. But I'm going to pick them up later. Yeah. And also we need to re-upload the audio to
archive.
I have
another good few shows in the queue as well, because I need to the New Year show is going ahead. More about that later. And we want to add a promo to the shows for December. So I've not processed them all week, so I need to process them tomorrow morning. So expect this one in so that we can get it up. And then I'll do them all tomorrow. I'll do them all tomorrow, including this one, cool. If that's okay, Dave.
Yeah, sure.
But a good show. I recommend a beverage of choice, sitting down, open fire. And then you have the feeling that these two guys are stuck in a log cabin somewhere, and they're basically talking about shooting the breeze, about cool tech stuff. Well worth a listen.
Yeah, excellent. Good.
The following day, using open source tools to... Oh, no, this one doesn't deserve that sort of a thing. Let me go back and do this properly. Using open source tools to visualize the heart rate and blood oxygen and saturation levels of my stepchild. Jeroen... Yeah, my comment on this is so he uses Python, PHP, jQuery, and Linux to visualize the heart rate of his daughter who needed treatment. The only thing I missed from the show would be I would love to have seen some of the charts, not necessarily from her, but you know, just to see some of the code and screenshots.
Yeah,
and I replied, "Super Dad, wow," which I think is... As a father myself, I just, fucking hats off.
Yes, 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 absolutely. Clinton Roy says, thank you. Thank you for being so open with this. And I very much agree. It's a brilliant thing. It really is a wonderful thing to do. I mean, to be faced with that situation and then see a device and think, oh, I wonder if I could get data out of there, and I wonder if I could make some use of it, and to be able to do so is just amazing. It's true hacking.
Yeah, I've just seen a PBS documentary on people using open source heart monitors where they're able to get, or insulin injections where they're able to monitor their insulin, and they're using open source firmware on these devices so that they get the steady flow of insulin and keep so there's no peaks and troughs.
Yep.
And A lot of these things are, of course, not approved by the FCC because the FCC takes FDA, Federal Drugs Administration, because the FDA takes a long time to approve them. Having worked in an industry where we did get FDA approval, I think the work that they're doing with medical devices is absolutely imperative to get right, because you really can't mess around with this stuff.
No.
That said, I also think there should be the ability to, you know, the open source software in your heart monitor. So I can see both. I don't think both are necessarily mutually exclusive. So there you go.
Yeah, but
it would absolutely be nice if maybe we can solve a lot of this by having the code open, and that code is audited and approved. But then they read a lot of the data should be exported via open protocols. So the device itself can be controlled safely, and the open protocols can give you information on your device, which can be then approved by a doctor to be put back in, if you know what I mean.
Yes. This wasn't about controlling it, of course. If
no. In his case,
It's about getting data out of it and understanding what it was doing. It wasn't necessarily doing the right thing, this device.
Well, it was given the information, but it was not given enough. And then he was able to take that data, give it back to the doctor, and then the doctor could make an informed decision based on the data that they received, which I think is awesome. That's the best of both worlds. So, you know,
yeah,
great.
Yeah. How it should be, isn't it? These things should be, if you can't, they can't do what you need them to do, there should be ways in which you can get around them, and you as the parent or the person involved should be able to do that. It's, yeah, brilliant story.
So how do you follow that? Well, I did, so you didn't have to. Didn't know at the time, but okay. I walked out one day, I think after recording a HBR show, and my daughter showed me this remote control, and I thought, okay, I'm going to record a show about that because it's an awesome hack and it still works.
It's a great solution. Yeah, absolutely. It's I'll have to see, you know, this sort of lateral thinking going on in the family. Wonderful.
And Claudio Miranda says, lol, ha, hilariously short, sweet, and to the point. Thanks, kids. Thanks, Ken and kids.
Paul B says, great hack, great episode. I'm absolutely going to do this at home. Thanks a lot.
Excellent. So my daughter was chuffed. She was a bit annoyed that I wanted her to record it, but I said we'll record it and then we'll see. Scientifical and Medical Reports by Health and Healthcare by Ahuka. I wanted to just make one comment about this, but before we do, we'll go on to the next day's show. And that's the second part of Mirror Shades, which I think we've already talked about. There was no comments on that. No. That's not fair. The Health and Healthcare Reports. If you're not following this series, guys, you really need to, because... especially this one, he's not actually asking you to change your life in any way that would be hard. This is just evaluating medical studies. And and you got me on to what's its Skeptoid podcast. Is that the guy?
Brian Dunning's Skeptic's Guide to Skeptoid. Yeah,
Skeptoid.
It's the Brian Dunning's one. Yeah,
yeah. He's done a few on these, and I think Ahuk has done an excellent job of bringing it to our audience.
Yeah. He's done a great job here, as you say, and it's the business about using a bit of critical analysis as you hear all this stuff, because there's so many factions that want you to get excited and rush out and do something about the messages that are coming through all the various channels. You know, you'll never guess what happened after such and such. Click here for the whatever, and all that sort of stuff is all riding on these. These reports, some of which are perfectly valid and great, but they've just been puffed up into nonsense that's selling stuff.
And also, even some of the researchers just are very annoyed that their reports are being mishandled in this way.
Yeah. Well, I've certainly heard tales of universities where some useful and important research has gone on in that organization, but they have a publicity manager at the front who doesn't really understand it, but knows it has to get out there and, you know, make the name of that university. And that's how the whole spiral of nonsense can begin, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But good show. well worth a listen. It's actually a show that even if you think you don't want to listen to it, you should listen to it just so you know in the back of your head the things that you should look out for. It's seriously not that long a show, and it's really worth it. Really well worth it.
Yeah, no, Hook's doing a brilliant job of this. He's summarizing it beautifully, I think. Very, very impressed with this. I want my daughter to listen because this is the area of that she wants to get into, the whole business of science communication. So I think she should listen to this and start thinking about how she could do similar things.
Yeah. Not all about Blender Part 2. The discussion continues. Yeah, and it isn't all about Blender. Quite a lot of it's about different types of games and bugs and stuff in them. Very interesting if you're... Yeah, it's basically fireside chat. And this is the second part of... was the following day, Lost in Bronx. Some additional chat about characters, part two. Typical ways to create characters in your story. Should you create the plot first, character first, and excellent examples, as always.
Yes.
Mr. X explaining the controls of the amateur HF radio part 5. I wouldn't mind getting my hands on one of them, actually, as it...
It's, remembering the pictures that I think he either referred to or put up on an earlier show, it's a proper looking radio.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah, it's not one of those. Of course, I need to get my license. Bash Tips 14, the for loop, the break loop, and the continue loop, as a direct result of that discussion we had 2 months ago, I think.
yes, of course.
Fine,
of course.
I've been put in my place, okay. the argument was about FFmpeg and not working with for loop, which I can't replicate now, but I think it could be the LS that I was using.
I never fully understood what your problem was, but there's some useful tips for things to do and what not to do and stuff.
Well, expect in 4 years, Dave, a comment to this episode going, "I told you so." To which you reply, "Yes, but you're piping in the colors from the console, and that has got special characters, which opens spawns off another shell, blah, 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 blah." Did you not read the man page?
Oh, it makes great reading, yeah. Ever have a sleepless night, then you just get that open and you're away.
The following day, I had some training and work from these guys, and they're from Hive NQ about MQTT brokers and stuff. So they actually run a broker on the internet. They run a free version on the internet for the community. And okay, their software is proprietary, yada yada yada, but they have an absolutely excellent blog. So the MQTT essentials, follow it, page one, right to whatever. Just the facts, nothing more, nothing less, and it's about MQTT in general and the protocols that's underneath it, and it'll just give you a clear understanding of how MQTT works.
Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah, it was nice to hear something about MQTT. We haven't heard I'm sure a lot of people are using it, but nobody's said much about it in recent times. But it's a great way of doing things, I think.
I was a bit skeptical about it, but it is a fantastic way to be able to distribute messages about the place. I was a bit concerned about the queuing system and about redundancy and about all that sort of jazz, but I think they've got it covered. But even if you're not using their server, there are other servers out there. Mosquito, for instance, is a broker that you can run yourself on a Raspberry Pi. But it's actually a very valid way of communicating on the network, and secure enough as well.
Yes. The Mosquito security was not brilliant to start with. I've not followed up to see whether it's got better, but hopefully the whole subject is moving forward. I must check out the blog and see if that's a subject there.
Yeah, I think if you've been dealing with MQTT, you know, a lot we suffer from the we know about technologies a lot sometimes prior to them being fully matured, let's say. And if you form your opinion based on back then, at least, which I did, then you really do need to keep yourself appraised of the updates and the changes. And right now, I think it's quite a good protocol. It's low resource intensive, and it's for the type of protocols. There is a niche for it, There is a niche for it. So if you're thinking, a lot of the stuff that was previously UDP type messages, that would be good enough for UDP. If it's good enough for UDP, it's good enough for MQTT. So that's what it's the message I took out of it.
Yes. It's not the big boy queuing type system that exists out there. I don't know many of them, but I was looking into alternatives before I implemented MQTT for one of my little projects. But for fairly simple, lightweight stuff, it's great. The only problem I hit was that the thing that handles the message is like an interrupt routine. You can't hang about too long. You can't do too much in there, because if you do, then you can tie up resources. Or you could do forking. You could fork it, but I don't think that's necessarily a part of the what you get with MQT, with Mosquito. So there are factors like that I don't know that you have to worry about with some of the more powerful systems. But it's but for the sort of stuff it was designed for, it's brilliant.
That's why if you're looking into some serious MQTT servers, the HiveMQ is one of the things that you should be looking on your list. You might choose not to use it, but you should definitely compare whatever your solution is against this to see, because these guys are leading the field at the minute.
Cool.
Okay, DerbyCon interview with John Strand. Ooh, didn't Zoke score one there? For people in the security fraternity, John Strand is one of the big names, so that would be recognizable to a lot of those security researchers. So a nice win there for us on the network.
Yes. Good, very, very powerful stuff.
Short show, but quite good.
Yeah. Yes. It's short, but very, very good quality.
And Spawning Desearcher says YouTube URL and tricks. I'm liking this. What he's doing with the letters on the right. Okay. I've done now two shows myself on YouTube playlists, which are in the queue. And you can update the user upload playlist by modifying the letters at the channel, what I thought were the channel or playlist URLs. So you can change the letters, the second letter from a U to a C, and it'll behave differently. That's very interesting.
Yeah. Yes, indeed, yes. I've never wanted to do this personally, but it's weird how that would work, isn't it? Yeah, I assumed that was some sort of a hash or something like that, but it's
yeah, exactly.
It's secret stuff in there somewhere.
And personally, I don't watch, I don't use the web player, but this might be useful to people. So
good. Yeah, I never use playlists personally anymore. If you see it, if I join a new channel and it looks like there's good stuff to watch, I'd quite like to use playlists to play older things. But otherwise, I don't do that. But from what you're saying there, it might actually be something I should be looking at.
Yeah. So if you're following up on these YouTube shows, if you're interested in YouTube playlists and stuff, that's definitely one you should have a little listen to. Following day, getting started with web-based games in Haskell and Elm by Duro Toto. And wow, again, did you try to get this running?
I've not had time to do that this week. Yeah.
Somebody who did was Tlatu. Cool game idea, cool intro. This sounds like it would be the kind of an amazing game, actually. I hope it happens. If not, it's still a neat idea. And thanks for a taste of Haskell. I've been mildly curious about it for a while, so nice to hear something substantial about it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Tuturto replies, thanks. Thanks. I'm kind of fond of the idea, too. Ideas, of course, are cheap, and actual implementation is the tricky part.
Oh, yes.
I'm trying to get at least very minimally working system up and running at some point. Main idea is just to explore the idea of writing such a game and learn a bit of Haskell and Elm on the side, which is fantastic. I think that's a great way to learn. No?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be able to contribute much to this project, so we'll see.
No. I wasn't really planning to do that. But I would really like to learn Haskell, but I'm not sure whether I'm up to it. It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's just totally different concepts to my mind, anyway.
So, the following day, we had Bandit update. In my build, as a quick episode to mention, there are new Over the Wire and Bandit levels out. He did an episode in 2138, and I still... I didn't get time to finish Bandit. It's something on my list, and I really want to do that, which is an SSH kind of game. So you go to the first level, and you basically cat a file or something, and then you get the key to go to the next level, etc. But the thing about this show that got me, Dave, and not judging, you know, the street cred of NY Bill, you know, the geek cred or anything, but I would have thought somebody like NY Bill would have used Git or something to put all his codes into and check them into a repository and then wouldn't have to worry about if his laptop got blasted over.
I like that. Yeah. I was catching up with shows, so I was ready for tonight's recording, and I listened to this one. And I thought, that sounds most intriguing. I was just going to check that out. So I landed on...
4 hours later?
Bandits. Exactly. And I wrote to NY Bill on GNU Social and said... Mastodon, actually. And said, well, thanks, Bill. I blame you for all that time I went.
But it's so frustrating. You get stuck at the level. Like, I know.
I think I've got to 13 so far, but... I just had to stop because otherwise nothing was going to get done. Nobody was going to get fed, you know.
and that's going to go rack and ruin. I get stuck doing it and I'm thinking about it the whole time and then going, all right, okay. And then, no, that's me. Me and Lemmings, after Lemmings, you know, hours and hours wasted on Lemmings. And I'm not one for computer games. Too addictive.
No. But the thing about this is that it's teaching you Linux or Unix or both. Yeah. And you think, oh yeah, I am reasonably good at this stuff, and then you hit a level and you realize, oh no, I've never had to do anything of this sort before. How the hell do you do this? You know, and I can't say any more, as Bill couldn't, otherwise I'd give away spoilers. But there are things there you think, well, this is hard, this is difficult. And you really got to think.
Yeah, but on the other hand, if you're doing it every, if you, you know, the ones that you're going, oh, I do this every day, I'm sure there are people stumbling over what we consider easy.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure that's true as well. Yeah. But it's an excellent exercise in learning the subject, I think. So
as it happens, because he had brought this to my attention before, as it happens, there was a kid in who I came across who was, let me say, demonstrated a interest in hacking to protect the innocent, and I pointed them to this going, look dude, if you want there are plenty of places out there that run competition servers that allow you to go and attack them and stuff, and this is one of them. So yes, hopefully that will put them on the straight and narrow, you know what I mean?
Oh yes.
Righty, the following day, problems with studies. This is another one from Ahuka, last one from Ahuka, and I can't use my, we'll talk about that later because we're at the end of this month's shows. And this was more details about what's good research and where it can go wrong. this one was just interesting from a human point of view, really, what people, what can, the pressure people are under.
Yeah, yeah. It says a lot about, I mean, the whole subject says a lot about the way that aspects of science are broken. The way that science is done in higher education is broken because there's a huge pressure to produce papers and results and stuff. And the journals don't want negative results. So if you do an experiment, you get a negative result, then that's effectively thrown away, even though it's valuable information to the world, but it doesn't further your career. And it's a mess. It's an awful mess, I think. And it's just becoming clear that that's the case when people can't replicate work that's already been done and all this p-hacking business. My daughter finished her degree last summer, and she got a lot of stuff about, you know, she was told a lot of things about things to avoid and how you shouldn't be taking your results and filtering out the bad ones and using the good ones and stuff like that. So that was a subject that was being kicked around this family a fair bit. So, you know, it was an excellent survey of the situation. And it finished with the comment, ignore whatever Gwyneth Paltrow says.
Absolutely.
Which I loved. Absolutely loved that. So if she offers you a jade egg, then you tell her what she can do with it.
No, I mean, more power to her salespersonship for being able to. But no, actually not, because there's
it's
lots
no,
of people.
No, it's complete and utter nonsense. And fooling people to make money from them is a thing I abhor personally.
I have to agree with you. I had an epiphany after listening to this show. But I was thinking about this and the You Random podcast, where I have probably, I've been having to question my political stances and things listening to those guys, which is always good. Always questioning is a good thing. Not at 4 o'clock in the morning when you can't sleep, obviously. But I was thinking, just thought came into my mind, should we have a fourth branch of government, which is the scientific branch, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow stuff should be just fucking you know, shut down straight away. There's no scientific evidence to support this. You know, should we now include science in government a little bit more? Because it seems to me that there's a need for it.
Well, yes. I mean, my view would be yes, but then I was trained as a scientist, though not done much of it lately. But yes, I would say so.
And engineering, I mean, obviously, but, you know, the cost benefit and accounting and whatever, that, you know, rational fact-based,
yes,
the
yes,
department
yes.
of facts.
Filtering out the nonsense is so important because, I mean, if you watch, you know, cowboy films of, you know, days gone by, then a lot of them consisted of the medicine man coming to town selling snake oil, and it was a sort of a joke that people were very, very vulnerable to being sold this sort of nonsense. And now, look, we've got much better systems. We don't let people do that sort of stuff. But hang on, that's not true at all.
No,
in some cases, we're supporting. It's worse. Yeah, it's the snake oil sellers are all there, and they've got TV advertising, and in some cases, they're in newspapers in what look like genuine articles, and they're not. They're you know, such and such discovered that if he rubbed this oil of such and such on his dog, then it cured him of all his ills. These sorts of strange things are still there, and are cloaked behind all the fake news stuff that's going on these days. You know, it's not moved on at all. So yes, I think we do need something like that.
Yeah, even stuff like fake news. What particularly bugged me was the recent budget in Ireland, which probably nobody outside of one or two Irish people listening to this know about. Yeah, we had an economic disaster in Ireland, and now they put in a fiscal advisory board. And the fiscal advisory board says, well, the budget you just produced is madness, and you're completely heading down to another fiscal disaster, but they're still doing it to win votes, you know, and that should be those guys should have legal power. No, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to spend this. I'm not going to tell you what you're allowed to spend it on, but you go back and go back to the drawing board. Which would actually get the politicians off the hook, because, you know, I'd love to, but the old fiscal advisory board won't let me do that, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, it could work.
If you've got thoughts on that, folks, don't put it in the comments. Good God, no. That'd be wasting shows. And we've got 260 brand new, spanking fresh, straight out of the old fridge here, show slots ready for you to upload.
Yes, absolutely. I can't but agree.
Yes. Okay, enough about that political. Actually, the whole point of HBR was supposed to be a political, to have diverse political topics to be discussed, but it morphed. Okay, additional comments that were not included in the last shows. There are 9 in 7 previous shows. A note to volunteers, comments marked in green were read in the last community news and should be ignored on this one. I love reading that out every time, Dave. Hello? It's at this point Dave tries to get his comments out. So this is a comment by Dodo Dummy to using Super Glue to create landmarks on your keyboard, which was posted in 2007 by Dodo Dummy himself. There's nothing new under the sun, and I found out that it is not a new idea. So he points to a YouTube video showing somebody doing something similar.
Yes, I did look at that video. Somebody who had keys on his laptop which had red blobs on. And
Okay, 5150 says, you missed one. Okay, probably more than one. I can see why English is so hard if it is not your first language. Amazing we forced it down the world's throat as a universal tongue over Latin and French. Yay, Team Anglo? Anyway, in a future episode, you should reference effect and affect and effect. I also learned something else. No American would think of using tenant as a verb. That's another elephant in the room. In the US, we reference ourselves with a term that applies to an entire hemisphere. The topic abounds on YouTube, British versus USA culture. Maybe we should open this up internationally and ask for a third party to tell us why we are both farting nuts. Thanks, 50.
That's a great euphemism. I like that one.
Farting nuts.
So I said, hi, 50. Oh, yes, English is difficult. It's rich and interesting, to me anyway, but it's a beast as well. Yes to affect and effect. I thought it was in my list, but it was not.
Well, can I just tell you, I spent an hour looking on my wardrobe of Dave's corrections, looking for that one, because I couldn't believe you had it, had not done it already.
No. It's an easy one to fall into. I have to do a double take on that one myself sometimes and think, which one? Oh, yeah. But, yeah. So it's something to bring into the series. So, continuing, British versus USA stuff. As I've aged, I've tried very hard not to do the finger-pointing and criticizing of US English. I try to be critical across the board! Exclamation mark. Anecdote. In the 1980s, I went to a conference run by Burroughs, the big mainframe manufacturer, and we had a mainframe at my work. And the speaker from the US said the word instantiate. Some British guy interrupted and criticized him, saying it was not a word, only to be shot down with a dictionary reference.
Oh,
he looked a fool, I thought, and I vowed to myself never to do that, because it's bloody impolite for one thing, but it's not possible to say this is correct and that's not. You know, you can say using it that way is not sensible, but I don't think you should.
Or not traditional or something.
Yeah. Well, I've got a list of things like that, which I'll come to in due course. But
I take Stephen Fry's stance on this. He's very good. He basically, you know, bollocks. Language evolves. You know, you would imagine he of all people would know the correct use of this and the correct use of that, but yeah.
You have to let it evolve to some degree. But sometimes you can see it evolving in a way that's just really silly. It's a, in many cases it's an ignorance. There's a certain ignorance. People mishear a thing, and then the misheard version becomes the norm. And you think, why? Well, that seems so daft. Yeah. That those are the ones that irritate me, and I have to point out. But not that it will make any difference.
It's okay. You can vent on this network, Dave.
Oh, I will.
Okay, 5150, this time without all the smarmy comments. 5150 said, and this is actually a good comment, getting paid in cryptocurrency. It's a good comment because I was thinking of commenting on this and didn't. This is a response to HPR 2562. I bought a laptop. Tangential to the main topic, I was intrigued to learn that you were paid in cryptocurrency. You did not mention which type, but given the volatility in better known cryptocurrencies, I'm curious how that might affect one's income, as am I. Also, will send us in a show. I'm sending this to your email referenced on the HPR website, but I'm also posting these questions to show comments. So any listeners getting paid in cryptocurrencies can weigh in. I'd rather hear from community members whom a significant portion of their income comes in the form of cryptocurrencies, but maybe somebody who makes extra money from a hobby side project can contribute their tales of fortunes won and lost. At this time, I'm not asking for stories from miners or people who lost their stash due to alleged
malfeasance. God. Doing bad things.
Oh, yeah. Mt. Gox, for instance. One, you said you were paid in cryptocurrency. This is this the form of you get equivalent to X euros to replace that relevant national currency a week based on the currency exchanged, or is it a fixed unit, Y units of cryptocurrency? Good question. If the latter, answer to question one, what happens if the bottom tops out of the cryptocurrency? Are you under contract, stuck working for nothing? I guess the colliery would be what happens when cryptocurrencies go so high that they can't afford to pay you. Has volatility in the cryptocurrency market affected your financial status? In other words, have you ever made plans based on a sudden uptick in cryptocurrency savings only to have them dashed when the bubbles burst? Almost a year ago, my non-techie friend started asking me about Bitcoin. By that time, Bitcoin was at the very first stage of its ramp upward. I really hadn't been paying attention, but suddenly Bitcoin was all over the news as this magical money tree that nobody ever knew existed. I warned my friend that I thought the bubble was speculator-driven and it would burst as fast as it had inflated. And that's the comment.
Yes, that's a hell of a comment. That's great.
It's a pretty good comment, though.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Might have been a show. Joel H. comments on episode Thoughts on Language Learning Game Story Mode, where DODD Dummy is working through game. Good idea. I just wanted to leave a quick comment about this show. I think the ideas and theories you present in the episode are very good. While the contents of this episode with the contents of this episode alone, I believe somebody could make an excellent video game. You've done a great job at working out education's small details to encourage learning. A point-and-click game sounds okay, but I was wondering, what would you think of these ideas in a first-person exploration game, something similar to the Stanley Parable? Not knowing what the Stanley Parable is?
No.
I'm at a loss. One duck-duck-go later. Wikipedia. It's an interactive storytelling video game designed by David Warden. The game was originally released on 27th of July 2011 as a free modification of Half-Life 2. There you go. Ran on Windows. That's probably why it, well, it's probably not why you didn't hear about it. I don't do gaming. Lemmings, common conversation of earlier. And also, I don't run Windows, so there you go. Okay, this is a comment on exercise and diet. DODD Dummy says, okay, you've convinced me. Ahuka, I have a couple, three, of conditions you've described, and I found myself being more and more convinced as this episode went on that I could change my lifestyle too. Thanks, man. Actually, I don't think it was meant to be read like that. It's like, okay, Ahuka, I have a couple of conditions you described, and found myself more and more convinced in this episode went on that you can make lifestyle changes too. Thanks, man.
Yeah, I think so. Shall I do Kevin's one?
Please do, yeah.
So Kevin O'Brien replies, it is about making a decision. I'm glad I could be of help. My purpose in this series is to say that we can take charge of our health rather than be passive victims. Then I can offer some tools to help in that. You just need to make a decision.
Yeah, very good. Very good, very good. Now I know I myself, I'm failing because... because it's my fault. Did we have the Lost in Bronx one? Great gear? No.
We did. Yeah, so we read that last week because it was just followed on from the previous one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Superb. Excellent. So, that is all the comments, additional comments for this month. But
There's one more.
Is there?
That's the show 2672 Porteous by Klaatu.
Okay, why did we haven't...
Is that not in yours?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So, Alison, shall I do it?
Yeah.
Alison Chaikin says, particularly informative episode. I've never made much use of live media except for insulation and system rescue, but I found the idea shared by Klaatu particularly thought-provoking. I've been traveling and wanted to perform some simple task like airline check-in from a lobby computer, but hesitated over using Windows of any flavor for anything. It would be fun to at least try to reboot these machines as Linux, but I don't think things like network proxy configurations screw up such attempts, ? It would also be fun to test drive Linux on PCs or laptops in computer stores. But don't staff wander by and tell the perpetrator to stop? And doesn't secure boot stop such attempts anyway? I'm curious, therefore, Klaatu, on what kinds of systems has this approach been successful? Older pre-secure boot systems, PCs, I should say?
All valid questions, I think.
Yeah. That's a good point. The thought of actually booting a live media on a computer in the airport... think there would be guys with firearms behind you quite quickly.
More than likely, they probably the shops, they just don't care.
Yeah.
I was just thinking I knew that name from somewhere. I did a quick Google of her name. And
she came to speak to us at the HBR table at Old Camp in Liverpool some number of years ago. I don't think you were around that year. That NY Bill visited Liverpool the second time. He and his wife were there.
And it was the year after that I came over. Missed him. Okay, and then we had any other business. Breaking news. Hacker Public Radio New Year's Eve show. Yes, folks, it's that time of year again when Hacker Public Radio does its 24 hours. 24 hours, I laugh in the face of 24 hours. 26 hours New Year's Eve show. For those who don't know, on New Year's Eve, 2018-12-31 at 10 a.m. UTC, that's 5 o'clock Eastern, we will have a recording going on the Mumble server on ch1.teamspeak.cc on port 64747. That's the port server we're using right now. For anyone to come along and say Happy New Year and talk about whatever they want, we will leave the recording going until 2019-01-01-1200 UTC AM, which is actually 0000 UTC, 7 a.m. Eastern, or until the conversation stops. So we're definitely going to be recording that long. And for those who have never used Mumble before, there's a guide over at linuxlogcast.com and a section explaining how to set up a Mumble client. Mumble isn't only available on desktop, it's available on Android and iOS. And we're going to be in Etherpad. So please stop in and say hi. And there's going to be a live stream as well of that. So if you don't want to join a mumble, you can just listen along. So it's always a good show. And even better in the last few years when I haven't had to do anything, Dave. Makes it even better. So this is Honky and let me see. Kevin Wisher, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
So Honky Magoo and Kevin Wisher, thanks very much for taking the initiative here again. And I actually quite enjoyed it last year because of the fact I didn't need to do anything.
Yeah, it was a good thing. I joined in briefly and had a little chat with Klaatu, as I recall. Yeah, it was cool.
It's nice. So, yes, there's a new podcast. Haven't listened to it yet. It's called Libre Lounge. Libre Lounge is a podcast where we casually discuss various topics involving user freedom, crossing free software, free culture, network hosting, etc., etc., etc. So, you might want to give them a try. Link is in the show notes. Do you want to take the next one?
Yes. Excuse me. Internet Archive, who, as you know, we upload all our shows, current episodes, as they become available to the Internet Archive at archive.org. And we are also in the process of uploading some of the older shows. So I think we have something like 1,830 approximately on there now. So still a way to go, but... anyway, so we're very, very keen that the Internet Archive service keeps going, as I'm sure many people are. So I just wanted to raise the point that they're currently having a fundraising exercise, which they tend to do at this time of year, every year. And as last year, donations that are made are currently being matched by a generous supporter. So anything you donate will be doubled. So that would be great. So now's the time to do it.
Do recurring donations also get doubled?
I don't know. It didn't say on their news site. If you just go to the main archive.org site, you get a page that shows its information, which I just sort of paraphrase into the notes here, and it doesn't say how that works.
Okay. And it has been Thanksgiving in America, and I would just like to say thank you very much to Dave, especially for all the work that he does here in HBR. But in addition to being a very good friend and getting me through a very dark period over the last few months, without him, I think life would have been a lot tougher. So thank you very much, Dave, for that.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome. Shall I mention the tags and summaries?
Please
just
do, yeah.
Just to keep harping on. Hope it's not getting too boring. Just to say that we've added two 23 shows which were without tags and or summaries. And so we're gradually whittling the number down, but we're always open for contributions. So if you'd like to contribute, there's a link here to go to and find out how to do that.
And as I said, I wanted to start working on some of the wiki so that we can split out the work logically. But unfortunately, I haven't had time to, previously I hadn't had the energy for it, to be honest. But now I'm getting a little bit more back on my feet. I'm going to see if I can maybe do that on the train going into work or whatever. Do a little bit every day.
Very good. Very good. Yep. I've just as an aside, really, we need to be moving ahead with our ideas for a replacement database, and things got sort of stuck about a year ago. I've actually been trying to resurrect things in the past couple of weeks, so we'll try and put some material out there that we can get comments on in the not too distant future, within the next month maybe.
Yeah, we should actually, if I know, blah, 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 blah. If we can talk in Telegram or one of those places about that, and maybe chat on Mumble, because that is a better way to get me to focus on stuff.
Just have a quick chat about it, and then draw a diagram, and maybe we'll try doing that.
Yeah. The one of the issues that makes that transition a little complex is that we really want to include the previous shows from Today with the Techie.
Yep.
So there's 300 of those to add to the database and sort of meld them into the structure of the HBR shows as well. So there's a sort of continuum. But precisely how to do that is not completely clear, but this needs a bit of discussion.
And also some of the hosts from there, there's overlapping in the hosts, and they need to get added back to the
database. I've got various bees in my bonnet, which are probably dead. but anyway, about making sure that if a show has multiple hosts, that we recognize them as individual hosts and all that sort of stuff. So,
And also the HBR Community News, we should have both of us down as hosts. I don't know. Maybe not.
Well, yeah. Personally, I would quite like to see that, because we've often had other people along to join in with the process.
Yeah, and it'd
be really nice to recognize them.
Cool. Yeah, well, okay, cool. We should publish these discussions as well, I think, because that's why I want to record some of them, so that get people thinking about it as we go along. And hopefully, and then if there are experts in that field, because I don't claim to be an expert in everything, but I do have a feeling for how things work and what I've seen, because I think, even this month, there's been a lot of problems with people filling out the forms. And you might think that's new users, or new users, I see. That's work coming in. New hosts, but it's also old hosts, and it's myself as well. I'll submit a show, and then all of a sudden, why has this happened? And this, why did I fill that tag out? Why did I miss that? And
I sent in a show within the past month where I just accidentally hit the return key, and it says, you finished then. That's fine. I was going to upload the So it's not, this is the nature of forms sometimes. It's quite hard to, I suppose you could get cleverer and put JavaScript-y things to catch all that, but we don't want to do that, it's not that difficult.
And there's other stuff like requests that people have wanted to do. Is a common one is, I messed up my show. Can I upload a new version of the audio? To which the answer should be, yes, of course you can. But we can't do that. We can't do that. But at a particular point in time, also, you're not going to be allowed to do that, because at what point does it become posted? Because you release it to us under the CC BY-SA or whatever license. And then at what point is it ours? And okay, you can upload a new version, but
it gets complex.
Yeah, it gets complex. But these are interesting discussions that I think people should also hear, because it's interesting. Okay, I will go out to the family and continue celebrating Pukkjesavond. Yes, Dutch people, I know it's the Saturday and it should be on the Wednesday, but that's what we do, so that the kids have time to acclimatize. And yes, I know they're all too big, but that doesn't matter. Sint lives on here.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Exactly. Okay, guys, tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of
Hacker
Public
Radio.
Join us now and share the software. You'll be free. Hacker, you'll be free.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.